We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's good, everybody? Before we get into today's episode with my guy Ty Windish from the Gyro Step podcast, a part of the Blue Wire Network, some housekeeping notes, Patreon roll call. We got Nick Chavez, Christopher Velasquez, Derek Platees, Devin Rendon, Jordan Riley, Mike Wozniak. Thank you all for your monthly contributions to the Patreon. Tonight, for the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft, about half of the draft, we'll see what the vibe is going to be like. We have partnered up with a new platform called Playback. Watch Playback is the social media handle for them. It's basically Twitch and Clubhouse together. If they form the baby, it will be Playback. I'm really excited to work with this company. We're going to be watching the NFL draft together. You guys, if you have a webcam, you could join. If you don't have a webcam, you want to just talk, you could do that. But we'd love to have you guys join us. I'm getting this up as early as possible to get you guys to join us. The link is going to be in the bio of the episode and also on social media. If you just follow at Veterans Minimum or myself at Nick Dayas 10, you'll be able to find that. But it would be cool. Going to be doing some stuff that are going to be Patreon exclusives. Going to be doing stuff like tonight, which is going to be open to the public. As many of you that can join will be cool. If we hit 20 viewers, that would be fire. And we'll give away something, which leads me to this. This is talking to all the members of the Patreon. There is a bunch of you in there. And I have not delivered on some of the perks. Over the last couple months, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. It's been chaotic. But I want to say that I am going to give back. And this is going to be something that I'm going to do starting next week. Is if you've been a member of the Patreon for the last 6 months, you are going to receive a piece of merch. Doesn't matter what the tier is. Obviously, if you are in a certain tier or higher, you're going to be getting something nicer, something more pricey. We're revealing the website next week, and there's going to be a Shopify account that you could buy some of the merch that you're going to see on there. But as a way to say thank you and to explain to you all, I've put out a podcast on the Patreon for you guys to just get an understanding of what's been happening behind the scenes and why I've gotten a little complacent and why some of the things have transpired, which led me to not be able to fulfill some of these perks and requirements based on your tier. So I don't want to take you guys for granted, and I appreciate you because a lot of the donations from the fans and the subscribers of VM is going to good places, buying new equipment, evolving the show. Some ideas are on that episode that I talk about on the Patreon. So if you've been a member of the Patreon for the last 6 months, you are going to receive a piece of merch. And based on your tier, that'll be the kind of merch that you'll get. So it might be hats, it might be shirts, it might be crew necks. Who knows what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. So check your emails over the next couple of weeks. We will get in touch with you. Someone from the team at VM is going to get in touch with you. We're going to need an address. We're going to need a size. Tables, ladders, chairs, oh my, all that stuff as a way to say thank you. And starting in May, going to be changing what the Patreon is just a little bit, making it more realistic for us over here. And I'm saying us because we're building a team over here and really expanding what VM is going to be able to create extra content and make it worth your while. So check out all that stuff. Hope to hear back from you. Leave us a comment. Tag us on social media that you're listening. Give a follow to my guy, Ty. We talk about the first round of the NBA playoffs, some of the surprises, and we touch on the Celtics and Bucks series, only because at the time we're recording, that's the only one we really know for certain is going down. Everything else, there's some game sixes being played tonight. And then you have teams like Miami and the Warriors who have advanced, but we don't know who they're playing yet. So we didn't get too crazy with that. And also a little bit of a eulogy for the Brooklyn Nets with how they flamed out of the playoffs. So check us out on the draft tonight on Playback. I know Impey's going to join us. Alan is going to join us. There's going to be some surprise guests popping in depending on when their team is picking. And again, to all the members of the Patreon, I do not take you for granted. This is a way that I'm going to give back. I got all the merch with me. It's all done. So I'll be sending stuff out over the next couple of weeks. And when you get your merch, just tag us. Say you're a member of the Patreon. It just goes a long way. The only way we could continue to grow this show, and the show is at a really good place, but now I am doubling down and expanding and doing some more funky, dope shit. Word to mouth, man. I feel like that's the best kind of promotion that you could have. So tag us when you're listening. Tag us on Twitter. Tell us what your favorite segment was. Tell me that I fucked up on some pick or some call. Don't matter. Everyone could get these bars. That's how we're building this brand. Everyone could get the smoke. Everyone could get these bars. So hit us up. Contact us. All the social media handles are in the episode. Enjoy this one, and we will catch you next week.
I'm working hard for respect in my city.
I'm working hard for respect. Yeah.
You think you got it? I got it for real. This one for those they forget in my city.
This one for those they forget. Yeah.
This dog off the leash and it's ready to kill. Homie, go finish your meal.
My man, joining us again. I forgot how many times you've been on, but I know it's not the first. What's good, Ty?
How's it going, Nick? Thanks for having me back for, yeah, it's been multiple times now, and I'm happy each and every one. So thank you yet again for the gracious invite.
Listen, man, you're a Bucks fan. Bucks die hard. You have a Bucks podcast. I am pro Bucks because they got the Greek freak, my guy Giannis. Got to stay with the Lambs. You know what I'm saying, Ty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people, I think, in the Bucks fold now only because of Giannis. And there are some Bucks fans who are probably very crotchety about this. Oh, bandwagon, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. It's Milwaukee. We'll take the fans we can get. If you only want to root for the Bucks because of Giannis, I am saying there's no issue with that. Welcome aboard. We will take all comers and appreciate the support in whatever way, including Bucks in 4/5 bets in the first round that thankfully at least the hedge cashed for you.
Yeah, it did, man. I was so big on Bucks in 4, Bucks in 5. I bet on both. Obviously, the sweep would have paid a couple extra dollars, but as long as they didn't go to 6, I felt really confident. And I feel like that's a good way to start, because what we're going to do now, Ty, is talk about the biggest surprises of the first round. And what's interesting is the only series that we know of for certain at the time that we're recording this Thursday afternoon is the Bucks and the Celtics. To me, I think the biggest surprise of the first round is not the Nets. It's the Celtics. And I feel like the whole narrative and conversation has been about KD and Kyrie, Steve Nash as a coach, Ben Simmons in his back, giving up James Harden. It's like, yo, the Celtics just swept them.
Yeah.
In 4, some of those games not competitive. And even in the games where the Nets would come storming back, like in game 1, at no point did the Celtics feel like they were giving up that game. It was very strange watching that. How do you feel about that surprise? And what do you feel about the Celtics in that series?
It's definitely not my biggest surprise. I think I had Celtics in 5 coming in. I expected Brooklyn almost did take game 1. I think that was their closest shot. Game 4 was kind of close. But their team just stunk. They had no playable size. They let go of James Johnson to give Kessler Edwards a roster spot. And James Johnson wasn't, by no means, was he like a world beater? But Andre Drummond has never been the answer. Every team that thinks Andre Drummond is the answer has much bigger, more terrifying questions. Blake just kind of lost it. He had a little bit of a bounce back in the series. But I just thought with no playable bigs, it's going to be so hard for them, you know, whether they play the Bucks, you know, how are they containing Giannis? They couldn't contain Jason Tatum and the Celtics. Al Horford was doing work to him. That's a bad place to be. So I didn't expect a sweep, but I didn't think it would be that competitive. I will say I was extra impressed at how effectively that Boston guarded KD. That's not something you're used to seeing. It's been, you know, since the Tony Allen Grizzlies. The Bucks did a great job, but he wasn't as limited as he was in the series against Boston. So that part surprised me, but the Nets are just such a flawed team, you know, without Ben Simmons, without Joe Harris, that I, despite all the narrative and talk and everything, I never thought they were really going to get past Boston. So, you know, even with the close game one, I expected Boston to win the series. So honestly, my biggest surprise is probably out West, not in that series.
Yeah, to piggyback off what you said about how well of a job they did on Durant, prior to game four, Tatum in coverage on Durant, to use like the football term, man coverage, when he was guarding him, I think Durant only had 10 points. And we knew how great of an offensive player Tatum was. Look, I bet on Tatum to win the MVP at the beginning of the year. This is the Tatum that I thought. It was the year four leap, right? Like, this is the leap that those guys enter that upper echelon where, you know, you're all NBA first team kind of guy. But I didn't think that the Celtics were going to be as good as they turned out to be, being the two seed. But his defense has been unbelievable. And also, I think another cool thing is they're super well coached.
Yeah,
I mean, I know coaching against Nash is getting torn up by New York media here in New York City. But I think Marcus Smart not being a heat check guy and shooting those crazy threes that he kind of shoots them out of games in the past. The Celtics are playing good ball, man. And I feel like they deserve their flowers for that series that they had, because they really just obliterated the Nets.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they look tremendous. They held down Brooklyn's offense enough, but really the other end, they dominated the Nets. The Nets could not stop Boston whatsoever. So Tatum, the focal point of that for sure. Going to be interesting to see against obviously a much better defense in Milwaukee. That series, I think, could end up being a bit of a rock fight, but I'm not sure. I don't have any feel for it yet. These teams have not played each other in a while and didn't really have any serious matchups in the regular season. So I can't wait for this series to actually get started on Sunday.
Well, I think the fascinating thing about this one is the Bucks are the underdog in this series.
Yeah.
A lot of it because of the news that we got today. And I put out that tweet saying that you and your co-host Rohan are in my thoughts. How do you feel about this, man? Because that's big, you know, like think of the Celtics losing Jaylen Brown right now. That would be a devastating blow to them. And no Middleton for the rest of this series and potentially some of the conference finals if they do get there.
Yeah.
What's the vibe in Milwaukee right now with the Bucks heading into this one? Because it's also, last point, it's also the only series that we know of. Like, everything else is still up. And the Warriors have advanced and Miami has advanced, but we don't know who they're playing yet.
Yeah, and that's my biggest upset or biggest surprise so far is that Phoenix has yet to officially advance to the second round. Even without Booker, I would have thought that would have happened by now. It may be coming soon here, but still. But for the Bucks, you know, obviously you miss Chris a lot, especially against Boston. He's been a Celtics killer his whole career. But, I mean, they've played better since the injury, and I don't think they're better without him. I think they're going to sorely, sorely miss him in this series. But I do think this has been his worst season defensively. And even with Portis coming in, who's not an ideal defender, they just have more energy, more athleticism out on the perimeter. The ball has been moving better. And I don't think this is all Chris was ruining these things, but I think playing without him may have really forced the Bucks to lean more into some of these other things. So, you know, I think the quality of role players they have around Giannis, I think they can still win this series. Absolutely. I understand why they're not favored, and I totally get it. I think Boston's a very good team, but I'm not betting against Giannis. And I think if Drew shows up and these role players hit shots, the Bucks should be right in this series. And it's going to be, you know, if they can steal one of these first two games, I'll be really confident. If they get blown out twice, I honestly won't even be that rattled by it, just because we've seen this from the Bucks. They start these series slow. In all last postseason, they never held a lead last playoffs after 48 minutes. They swept the Heat, but it took overtime in game one. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if these first two games don't look great. But if they steal one, if Milwaukee steals one, I'll be feeling really good about the rest of the series.
Yeah, it's fascinating about that game one trend, because it also applies to, like, from a betting perspective, right? in the first round, in the first round of the playoffs, historically, 80% of the time, the team that wins game one wins the series. Now, in round two, you have better teams, better matchups. That number is still significant. It's at 68% of the time. So game one is important. But I also feel like there's like exceptions to every rule, because you have certain teams that are so battle tested where I wouldn't panic too much if my team drops game one. And I think teams of this magnitude at this level now, round two of the playoffs, conference finals, and the finals, you're happy with a split. You know, like if I tell you, yo, you're going into Boston, the first game one, you're going to get trounced by 40, but then you're going to win game two. You'll be like, where do I sign up?
That's incredible. You have to take the. I mean, if the Bucks come out of the first two games saying we win 3 and 5 serve and we go on, that's best case. I mean, I guess 2 and 5 serve, but you certainly don't expect to win 2 in a row in Boston. But no, I think if you take either of those games, you feel great. And you just look at, I mean, they were down 0-2 to Phoenix and Brooklyn last year. They looked awful in game 3 against Brooklyn, but come away with the win. And we saw how those series went. So, and hey, I mean, I certainly don't expect this and would not feel good about this situation at all. But looks like we may see a team come back from down 0-3 in this very postseason. So there's always an exception.
Listen, as someone who I'm sort of creating this anti-playoff James Harden
movement. I think it's been created, Nick. I don't think you're first to this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Though I have been on the James Harden bandwagon since he went to Houston. Like when I first started creating content, bro, I remember like I bet him to win MVP in 2016, and I still will go to the grave saying that Russ was not the MVP that year. We'll save that for another time because I could go on and on. But Harden in the playoffs, we've just seen it time and time again. And it would be so poetic. It would be so amazing if they even force a 7th game. Like, I know we're recording prior to game 6 tonight with the Raptors and the Sixers. If the Raptors take care of business in Toronto and force a game 7 tie, oh, man. The content is going to be epic.
Here's the thing. Do you think the Sixers would be more worried going into this game in Toronto, a hostile environment, tough to win there, or having to go back to Philly for game 7, a more hostile environment, because Philly fans have just watched you blow 3 straight games and let the Raptors all the way back in? Like, I think there's got to be as much pressure as there can be on a team who once had a 3-0 lead on the Sixers right now. Like, if I'm the Sixers, like, I bet they're tight right now. Knowing how Embiid's doing, knowing what Harden does, what Doc does, like, this cannot feel good for the Sixers.
I couldn't agree with you more. You go back to game 7, it's one game, right? It's basically an NCAA tournament game, right? One and done in that case. And you got the pressure of no team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. You're playing at home. If Embiid starts the game off 0-4, Harden is 1-6. You know the Boo Birds are coming down.
Oh, I think they're going to be quick, man.
You do not want to go back. If you're Philly, you're treating this like game 7. Because you never know. 2 quick fouls on Embiid. He's out. It's crazy. Maybe Van Vliet finally shows up. Because I feel like the Raptors could have won this series by now if Van Vliet gave them anything. Because I feel like he's cost them a couple of games, especially late in game 3. He couldn't hit a bucket to save his life in the fourth quarter. So to me, man, from a content perspective, I'm going to have a blast if it goes 7 and if the Raptors end up pulling off the upset. Look, it's still minus 500 for the Sixers to win this series because it's never happened. But Embiid's hurt. You got the Harden playoff resume. You got the Doc Rivers, who he got asked about it, and he snapped on the reporter. So, dude, this is lining up great, man.
It's beautiful.
Let's go over to the West, because I know Miami won their series, but I feel like kind of expected. I had that also in 4 or 5. You touched on Phoenix struggling without Booker. I think it is because of Booker, obviously, him not being there. The one thing that's fascinating is I always like to find roadmaps for teams. Man, Dallas with Luka and Brunson now being in his bag and wanting to get paid, which is one of the things that I really like targeting, Ty, when it comes to playoff runs. Like, who's in a contract year? Who really wants to show out in a big spot? Now, you know, it's not just the league pass people that are watching. This is national televised games.
Right.
And the Mavericks, it's also the Utah stigma in the playoffs. But if Dallas gets by, Phoenix if they go by the Pelicans, which they should, like that's right. I know they're making it a series, but
the Pelicans have been impressive, but Phoenix should still, now that they have the 3-2 lead, they should wrap this up.
Yeah.
That's another team though. I'd be worried if they have to go to game seven. I mean, they have to go to this game six on the road and treat it like it's game seven.
Yeah, nah, for sure, man. But if you're the Mavericks, like, dude, there's a path. You got a guy like
You got to be excited about your chances to at least get to Golden State, who I think is going to come out of the other side now.
Yeah, that series also is still, that's going to be the game on Friday, the game six between Memphis and Minnesota. And I know us two were pretty high on the Grizzlies. What do you make of that series, man? Is there, I feel like it's because of the youth. Like a lot of the youth is showing in Memphis in those games.
Yeah, but Minnesota has the youth too, though.
Right, so that's
but
the
they
thing.
Don't have
like
the expectations.
Right, there's no expectations on Minnesota. They played in the play-in game. Memphis finished as the 2 seed. They overachieved. Only the Cavaliers exceeded their win total from a sportsbook standpoint this year. But yeah. I think like both teams have shown the inexperience where they're so young, they don't understand, I think, the magnitude of the games. Like Towns twice has done the and then they ended up blowing those games.
Well, how about Ant's defense to close game five where he goes for the steal? You should never do that in that situation and then gives up the easy layup to seal the game. Like that, you talk about inexperience. It was on display right there. Of course, right after Ant hits the incredible three, like not to shit on Ant, who's been awesome, but that's just one of those moments that you learn from as a young player. Real quick, though, Utah's pathetic.
Oh,
that
series
should have been sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. If you can't beat the Mavs without Luka, I know Brunson stood up and whatever else. Bro, it's Jalen Brunson. You have Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. These are all NBA players. Handle business. Like they should have broken that team up after last year or after the Clippers series. This is like terrible. That Utah did not. I had Utah in five going in because I was like, calf strains are really tricky. It's hard to rush back from. That's what Luka dealt with. He's back now. They lost after he came back. But like Utah should have had that series in the bag. The fact that they lost a home game to the Mavs without, or you know, it was a road game, but they should have not lost anything to the Mavs without Luka. So the Jazz, like, get him off my screen already. But yeah, no, I think Memphis, Minnesota, it's been a good series. And I don't want to take away too much from Memphis for the reasons we've been talking about. But I think that Golden State team looks way better than I expected. And I think they're going to, I think there's a right now. I don't know what the odds are. I would pick them to get out of the West right now, pretty easily.
Yeah, they're the favorite to win the West at +130. To win the title, they are.
Is Boston first now?
It's still the Warriors at +300. Yeah. Boston is +350. Milwaukee 7-1, and that's all because of Middleton.
Yeah, I mean he might not be back for the third round either. I get the skepticism there.
Yeah. Well, I want to touch on what you said about Golden State, because as someone who's financially invested in Memphis, I'm really worried about that.
Yeah,
because they're back and this three guard lineup with Poole, Curry and Clay is wild. And then, you know, Draymond doing his stuff, the small ball lineup. The most fascinating thing is, dude, Steph Curry got to be the most unselfish megastar, I think, in all of sports ever, probably, right? Like the idea that I know he started last night in the closeout, but just to come off the bench early in the playoffs, like with no care and
crazy. Yeah.
And look, he ends up playing starter minutes. I get it. But it's like, you know, Poole has been balling out when you were out. So you reward this guy. I felt, Ty, like he should have been most improved player to me because
John winning was stupid.
It was so dumb, dude, because
he was rookie of the year last year.
And also he was in the G League pool last year. Like if you go from the G League to dropping 30 a night, like, you know what? That weighs a lot for me. You know, like you were in the developmental league. So he should have won. I felt like he should have won the most improved, but Curry just saying, yeah, man, this guy's been playing well and reward him. Let him start. Let me come off the bench, no problem. It's like, yo, your second unit is spearheaded by Steph. Man, that team is back.
I think they might sweep if Minnesota does pull off the upset. I look at that series and I think Draymond's gonna put Cat in hell, and the Grizzlies just won't have Timberwolves just won't have enough. But I think the Grizzlies Warriors, you know, I don't think that's the Warriors just advance. I think that is a funky matchup for Golden State. I think Memphis can go small too. I think, you know, the Warriors are going to have a lot of problems with Ja, with Klay, you know, coming back from the injury. Jaren's going to space out Draymond a little bit. Like, I don't think that's an easy series for Golden State, but I would favor them there. And the other side of the bracket, you know, it stinks, kind of coming from the same perspective here in Milwaukee, but, you know, Phoenix just feels like it's going to be really hard for them to win two more series against really good teams. And everyone loves the Mavs. I love Luka. Luka's great. I don't know. You know, maybe they get through Phoenix just because Phoenix is reeling without Book. I just don't. I could not see, even if Memphis beats Golden State, I think whoever wins that series is probably going to come out of the West, unless Phoenix can, you know, really look great. But I just think you're putting so much on Chris Paul right now, and we just don't know when we're going to see Book again. It's even more devastating than, you know, the Bucks situation, because Middleton's either their second or third best player.
Where Book
is either first or second. I mean, people will say CP is first. I think Book is the most important player to that team. I just think that's way too much to overcome for, you know, two series.
Yeah, and I think with if Chris Paul was out and Booker was healthy, I think they wrap up the series because Booker could create his own shots.
Yeah, they need more offense right now.
They need more offense, yeah. Reliable scores.
Paul brought it in the last game, but you just look at him and go, how much can you ask of this guy? Yeah. I think he closes out New Orleans, but is Chris Paul going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Luka scoring-wise at whatever age he is? Like, it just seems like you're asking way too much from him. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It really does stink. We've had so many injuries this year. It'd be great if we got through the second round without, you know, another. I mean, Jimmy Butler had to sit out, right? Like, it's crazy right now.
Yeah.
Lowry is out too. Like,
Last thing I want to ask you before we wrap up is if you're a Mavericks fan, the path realistically for you to have a chance to get to the finals would be no Booker in the second round. You take care of Phoenix and then you just scoreboard watch and hope that Memphis could pull the upset and beat Golden State because you have the Mavericks. The Warriors are so experienced that to me, that's the team right now in the West that you really got to worry about. And I know they started off the season hot and then they kind of just got a little silence because it was not sustainable. But they're back now and this is where they thrive the most. So if you're a Mavericks fan, that would be your only logical path, because I think right now Golden State's the team to beat. They're the healthiest. And that's really all that matters. I'll never forget, dude, Super Bowl when the Giants played the Pats in the second time. And I was in Indianapolis and they asked me, how do I feel about the game? And I was like, you know, I'm a little worried, yada, yada. And they go, of the 53 man roster, 52 are active in this game. Wow. So the 53 men in week one are playing, and like Gronk was hobbled. A couple receivers were hobbled. It's like, it's not about the hottest. It's the healthiest teams going into it. And right now, like, you're looking at the Celtics, you're looking at the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely. Is there anyone else who's really, I mean, I guess Memphis and Mini, but yeah, you assume that they won't make it past the Warriors. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, Miami's beat up too, but it seems shorter term. I think right now the Heat have to be feeling really good about getting to the conference finals at least, because I think Toronto maybe edges the Sixers, but Toronto's banged up and does not look great. I think that's more on just the Sixers being the Sixers. And yeah, I think Miami's got to be feeling good as well, but certainly Boston and Golden State could end up being the finals. I will throw up, but it could end up being the finals.
That would be very, very interesting if that's the case. Yo, Ty, real quick, man, as we sign off, where can people find you, bro?
Yeah, appreciate you, man. At Ty Windisch on Twitter, TiWindisch. Also, wherever you are listening to this pod, or if you're watching on YouTube, Eurostep Podcast Network, check us out, covering all things Bucks. Hopefully a few more series wins this year, but even if not, we'll be bringing the Bucks coverage and maybe looking at some NBA stuff if they do get eliminated. Hopefully not, though. So fingers crossed there.